Hello and welcome to another edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Harris Wishard. What's up, Harris?
What's going on, Nick? Excited to be here. Obviously, Thanksgiving tomorrow, so the NBA season has flown by. These first few weeks have absolutely flown by, and 2016 has gone pretty quickly. So excited to get into some hoops with you today.
Yeah, for sure. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Obviously, we're doing this a day before, but have a good day. Enjoy some football. The NBA's not on, but eat plenty of food.
Of course, as always.
What game stuck out to you last night? We only had four. Anything special about last night to you?
Yeah, there are a couple teams that seem to be in the right direction for the NBA. I've always spoken on the importance of the Lakers and Knicks, those two franchises. I mentioned Randall in my column for OTG Harris Hustlers as a guy that's really been playing well, and they got obviously contributions from Young last night, so that fan base is really excited. Obviously, I hear a lot of chatter in New York. A lot of my friends, big Knicks fans, so you know my history with the team, and so I'm obviously a little bit skeptical, but I want to give the Knicks credit here and how they've been playing of late. Obviously, it's November, and Knicks fans act like it's the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think it's a starving fan base for anything positive, and I think they have a really, really nice piece now in Porzingis. And so I don't want to be the Grinch that stole the optimism of Knicks fans, but I obviously know that 7-7, I know they were 20-20 last year before things went south. As long as Carmelo is okay with Porzingis being at times a number one offensive option, the Knicks are in the right direction. The Lakers are obviously in the right direction. I give a lot of that credit to Luke Walton. They had a great win over the Thunder. But I think yesterday was about two franchises that over the last few years have been in a bad spot, and they're getting to a better spot.
Yeah, and I mean, I would say the Lakers are definitely one of the surprise teams of the league. A lot of us had the Lakers in the bottom five. They look like a well-balanced team. You know, that young talent starting to mesh. And like you mentioned, Luke Walton has these guys having fun. They look like they're enjoying playing basketball. He's done a great job with Nick Young, who had that game-winning three last night. But let's talk about the Knicks for a bit. You know, I think they've won five straight at home. The Blazers are struggling, but it's still a nice win. They had some big minutes down the stretch. And Porzingis has been huge. And I've been saying this for a while. You know, if you're the Knicks, the only concern for you should be Porzingis. Mm. You know, you're going to go as far as Porzingis takes you. You know, Melo's getting past his prime, and Porzingis is the future. And if you're going to win a championship anytime in the next 10 years, it's going to be because of Porzingis. So I love when they focus on him. They get him his touches, and they seem like such a better team. And when he's engaged offensively, it seems like he's even better defensively. And I thought another thing, like you touched on, is Melo okay with it?
Yeah. Well, and I think we know he has an ego. It's been a problem in the past. I think anytime you have a changing of the guard and Melo's starting to realize it, he came out, some of the things he says bother me. I know he's a great offensive talent, but to come out and say, oh, this is Porzingis' second year, we can't, you know, we can't, as I'm looking at a Carmelo Anthony ad right in my face on Foot Locker, and I'll talk about that commercial that bothered me also, but he's telling us, oh, it's Porzingis' second year, let's not too much pressure on him. He's putting pressure on himself, Porzingis. I think Porzingis' expectations of himself are larger than any expectation that we have. He wants to one day be an all-star MVP-type player. We know he can be an all-star. I don't know about anything beyond, but, you know, there's no
– I think he could be MVP in the future. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, I mean, Dirk, he has the Dirk ceiling, and he hit a couple off-the-dribble threes yesterday that made you turn around and say, wait a second, what do we got here? The Knicks might have gotten the steal of the draft. They know – Towns is probably still a better player, but they obviously got a great value pick at four. And Carmelo in the Foot Locker commercial, and I'll ask you this question, why does Carmelo feel the need to continuously remind him of his individual accomplishments?
Yeah, he mentions how he's an Olympian and he won a championship at Syracuse, right, in that commercial?
Yeah, nine-time All-Star, yeah. 13-year. Like, we know what you have done. I think now that he's fading a little bit, he wants to justify what he's done in the league and accomplished. He loves to go at the young guys. The Greek Freak called him a little bit of a bully and stuff. And who knows what the future holds for Carmelo in New York. I'm not one of those trolls that wants to continuously be negative towards him. I just think Porzingis is the best player on the team.
Yeah, well, that was the next question I was going to ask you. Is Porzingis the best player? And even if he's not the best player, he's still – it's the best interest of the Knicks to make him the focal point regardless. Even if Carmelo is more offensively talented, Porzingis provides you with more of a mismatch. Because, you know, there's not many seven-footers that can guard him out to the perimeter and handle him off the dribble. You know, I was impressed by his step back and, you know, when he was driving up and pulling it back, like, he moves really well for somebody his size.
It's like a new – it's like someone transfers to your high school or college. Or it just seems like we're dealing with immature things. Like, Melo is so – it seems like he's so concerned about being the man and I'm the king of popularity. That's the vibe I get. I don't know if I'm wrong, but let this guy just be the horse and do what you have to do offensively. But I think they should ride Porzingis. And I think
exactly.
They make him the 25 a point a game guy because he seems like he could do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, let Melo be that. Melo is his Olympic days. The reason why he's so effective is because on those teams, he has no choice but to be one of the three or four best guys, not the best player. And I've said it for years. You can win with him when he's not your best player. I think Porzingis is the type of guy in the next few years that you could win with as your best player.
Yeah, it really looks that way. And he just has that certain energy, that little swag to him. And we know what happened with Melo and Jeremy Lin. And it's been well noted that Melo was not happy when Jeremy Lin had that Lin sanity stretch in New York. Came out and said, you know, Melo kind of helped push him out of New York. So I think this is a little different situation. I hope Melo learned from his mistake with Lin and he kind of lets Kristaps Porzingis and makes his life easier. I think that relationship seems better from the start.
Yeah.
Something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I don't know. I think at this point in Melo's career, I think if he had two or three rings, it would be Melo would it would be like justifiable, like, hey, let us lead. But the man, for whatever, say what you want about the talent around him, the man has not won a championship. So let's see if he could take on the lesser role and continuously take on the lesser role with everybody talking about Porzingis. Eventually, Carmelo will not be the Carmelo that we know. Right now, he still has a lot of Carmelo in him as far as the one we've seen, and he hasn't had those big nights, but he's not 31. LeBron is 31 going on 28, 32 going on. Carmelo is 31 going on 33, and you can see the difference in their bodies.
Yeah, you definitely can, and LeBron's a special specimen. Mm-hmm. But talk a little bit more about the Knicks, the point guard play. Derrick Rose has had some nice moments, and also Brandon Jennings off the bench has been really nice. I ask you this question. I've heard it in New York, obviously. You know, we live around this area. Should Brandon Jennings possibly start? Some people think that he's a better fit with the starting unit than Derrick Rose.
Well, I think if it isn't broken, don't fix it. And he had a decent game yesterday, another 11 and assist game in only 22 minutes. So they, you know, my friend touched on the fact that he likes playing with the European players, and Hernan Gomez has been tough.
And I like that kid.
Played. So they have the bench in Kuzminskas, and then Hernan Gomez and Holiday, and O'Quinn has given them good minutes. And since Noah's been out, they've looked a lot better. And I played against O'Quinn once in college in an exhibition game, and O'Quinn is one of those guys that plays hard and plays a little bit bigger and taller than he is. He had 5 rebounds in 24 minutes last night. The Knicks have a nice little rotation going right now. And I didn't know they were going to be deep. I didn't know what Hernan – I don't think they're deep yet, but Hernan Gomez has been a little bit better than I thought he was. But Jennings has a nice thing going with the second unit. I wouldn't mess it up. I'm not the biggest Brandon Jennings fan. Defensively, he's been okay. He had 2 more steals yesterday. But as long as he keeps his head on straight, he's a talented guy. Just defensively, I'm reserved in the fact that I don't know if they have enough players to make a deep push, because I'm thinking 14 games in, you start to find out the landscape a little bit. But the Knicks have always kind of competed in the first half of the season. They've had several teams that have been around 500 until the halfway point. But to answer the question, no, I don't think Jennings should start. I think it's fine. Rose had 18 last night. And 5 assists in 28 minutes. He had a vintage Derrick Rose layup. I wouldn't touch it if I'm the Knicks right now. They have some winnable games coming up. I think they have an opportunity here to make some decent noise.
And you touched on Joakim Noah being out, and you like the way they played better without him. What do you think about that signing, and how has he looked so far this season?
from what I've seen from Noah, he had that one game in Chicago where he looked vintage Joakim Noah. But in a system that they're in now, at the point of the career he is now, the reason why it worked so well in Chicago is they had something established on the defensive end and the chemistry they had on the defensive end of the floor. That's not this Knicks team. They're not going to hold you under 90. That Bulls team did that. So he was really effective for that Bulls team. But Noah, he's had struggles to fit in a little bit. He's rebounded okay. But his offense, in this offense, it doesn't look like he has that same – I don't know how you feel about it, but in this offense, it seems a little bit forced. He doesn't have that same I would say vision from the top of the key that he's been able to pass with in the past. So I'm not so sure that Joakim Noah is the right fit right now. I think they might be better off without him right now.
I could see it possibly too. You know, their best lineup might be Kristaps at the five or playing one of these other young bigs. But Noah, I think his issue probably is a little bit of chemistry. Like you said, he was really effective in Chicago from the top of the key, setting up his teammates, and he really hasn't had a lot of time. Obviously, the guy's body is banged up. We could sit here and list his injuries for about 10 minutes. So I think that obviously is going to catch up with him eventually. I think there's still a chance for obviously success from this season. He's just going to have to find his little niche. Obviously, not having a good jumper in this day in the NBA as a big man hurts you, just because it seems like 7-footers across the board are shooting threes nowadays.
Yeah, he's on the list of guys that, you know, top five. You made a list of top five guys that have missed the most games or have had the most injuries. You know, you're looking at Rose and Noah. Noah's now been out, and he was sick the other day, right?
Sounds about right.
He was sick during the Hawks game. I don't know why he did not play last night, but – Rose is another guy you have to monitor and watch. And Rose, I think, he's played in almost every game.
Yeah, I think he's played in almost every game. He hasn't had to play a ton of minutes. I know he's had foul trouble in a few games, and that's why Jennings has been able to get those extra minutes. But enough about the Knicks. We talked about the Lakers getting the win, but I want to talk about the team that the Lakers beat. And that's another kind of surprising team. That's the Chicago Bulls. They're at 9-6, and Jimmy Butler's playing some great basketball. I ask you this question. Is Jimmy Butler the second best player in the Eastern Conference?
Jimmy Butler, and we said it on the podcast last time about the shooting guard list and then DeRozan, and I think we might be a better player than DeRozan. You look around the Eastern Conference, you look at centers, you look at point guards, and, I mean, I think it's almost a shoo-in for Butler to start at shooting guard for the All-Star team in the East, so – he's one of the top three or four guys. I mean, it's just hard to say, like, is he better than Irving? Is he better than, you know, Andre Drummond? He's probably better than, because he might get a nod in the All-Star game. So the Eastern Conference with Wade and Melo fading, I guess that spot's up for grabs, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, I could definitely see. I would say at this exact moment, the way he's playing, I don't think he's going to keep this pace up. He's probably the second best player just because of his all-around game, and he's just been on fire. Shots, it'll be hard for him to keep it up, but like you said, with some of the stars fading, there's definitely opportunity for him to be the second best player. You know, there's guys like Kyrie, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry are some guys that come to mind, but I mean, Butler can't be the second best player in the Eastern Conference.
Well, the great part about this game is it comes in waves, and we were very lucky to see some absolute legends on the tail end retirement of Duncan, of Kobe, of all of those players, and Garnett. And then LeBron said, you know, my crew's up next. Paul, Wade, Melo doesn't say it's going to happen anytime soon. LeBron will probably last the longest. But, again, there's always a new guard. There's always a change of the guard. Butler seems to have taken a huge step. He's one of the few guys in the league that you look at and say, wow, this guy got a lot better. You know, Devin Booker comes to mind. T.J. Warren comes. I'm just guys that are very much improved. McCullough has been getting much better. There's always
Wiggins.
You could tell in the first couple weeks – there's always that guy or several guys that have made a jump, and you could tell who's putting the most work over the offseason, and Butler is definitely putting a lot of work.
Over at on our website, otgbasketball.com, we uploaded our new batch of power rankings for this month. And we're not going to go over all 30 teams. We'll go over the top five, and we'll give you our top five. Number one, the staff gave us the Cleveland Cavaliers. Number two, Los Angeles Clippers. Number three, Golden State Warriors. Number four, San Antonio Spurs. And number five, the Atlanta Hawks. Mm. So what do you think of these five, and then what's your top five teams in the NBA right now?
I'm gonna touch on my top five, and then you could say maybe your top five, and then we could maybe talk about what the group said. But I think the best team in basketball is the Golden State Warriors, and I think it's tough to say. I've always believed that the team that won the title is one until someone should take them off and someone should beat them and all that other stuff. So I think Cavs and Warriors are interchangeable at 1-2. So if you want to say Cavs, I'm completely okay with it. I think the Warriors are a better team right now, but it's just Durant. It's new. It's 14 games in. So it's the new thing. It's the new car. We wanted to see how it would work on the tracks, but I think they've done a nice job. So I would say those two are interchangeable. The Clippers, to me, are three. I think they've been really impressive early on and have made the push to at least be considered one of the best and elite teams in the NBA. I'd throw the Spurs at four. And I don't know if I would have the Hawks that high. I like a couple of teams, I think, better than them.
The Hawks do have been playing really good basketball compared to some of the other teams. This is just based off right now, you know, not like, you know, what's going to the future.
Yeah, I don't know. I know the Bulls lost to the Nuggets last night. I think that's okay with Hawks right at five, but I think at the end of the year the Bulls could be better than them. I think the Hornets could possibly be better than them. I'm not a huge Atlanta Hawks person.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Hawks right now, I think five is well-deserved. I probably would see the Raptors getting things together and getting in that top spot, or maybe the Bulls, like you mentioned. Yeah, well, I'm going to go with the Clippers at number one here, just because I feel like they're playing the best basketball in the NBA right now. I don't think they're the best team. The way they're blowing teams out, and they have 13 wins, I got to show them some love. So I'm going to put them at number one. I love Chris Paul. I love Blake Griffin. I think that's a dynamic duo right there, and DeAndre does his thing down low. Number two, it gets pretty tough. You know, like the Cavs haven't done anything wrong for me to take them out of number two, but the Warriors have just looked so deadly. So I'm going to put the Warriors at two just because I'm starting to see that chemistry, that rhythm, and that just that deadliness of that team.
Well, good thing LeBron is not listening to this right now, because if there's any more motivation.
But I'm going to have the Cavs at three, but I still have the Cavs as my pick to win, go to the finals. So it's just off of right now. I don't think the Cavs are doing anything crazy. I think they had a loss to a team that they probably should have beaten. And they lost to the Pacers without LeBron. That was kind of disappointing, especially just because the Pacers haven't been off to a good start themselves. Then number four, go with the Spurs. Kind of hard to go against that. And five, I think the Hawks is a fair. I'm going to agree with the writers with the Hawks just because they've been playing some great basketball. I think Dwight Howard surprised some people. And the teams around the league, you know, the teams that you expected that five spot haven't really played up to standards yet.
Yeah, it's Celtics, Raptors, Grizzlies, Rockets.
Yeah, exactly. And the Raptors had a loss against the Kings a few days. That was a little bit controversial. I don't know if you saw that. Terrence Ross hit the three to tie it, but they decided that the clock started a point second late, so the shot didn't count. Mm.
No, I didn't see that game.
Yeah. I mean, it was the Raptors were down a lot of that game. The Kings showed some stuff. Obviously, DeMarcus Cousins is a beast, but it's the kind of a game you expect the Raptors to win for sure. Like the Kings aren't any, they haven't been playing incredible or anything like that. And you kind of expect them to win that game. But at the end of the game, they had a chance to tie it at the end. I think there was 2.4 seconds on the clock and Terrence Ross hit a three at the top to tie the game. But then they reviewed the play and they realized the clock started late. So then they waved off the three.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, I think going forward, I don't know how you feel about it, so I want to ask you this question. I think the Bulls will eventually get by the Hawks. I think the Bulls are going to emerge as a better ball club than the Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see. I don't think the Hawks will be in the top five all year long, and it wouldn't even surprise me if they dropped to maybe the bottom of the top 10, just because I'm just they don't really have like that superstar power, and there's some inconsistencies on that team. Some things that might scare you. So I definitely would rather – I probably have the Bulls and Raptors there later in the year just because I like the leadership on the Bulls, that veteran experience. I think Dwayne Wade brings something not just on the court but off the court too that's really pushed his team to a new level.
Yeah, and I heard Max Kellerman say this on First Take today. The after 22 games, I think the playoff picture is like 85 or 90%. You may have said even almost guaranteed, but not to say guaranteed, but I think after 20 games, like I've always shied away from making bold statements and bold predictions in November. I have to see more. So like the power rankings are cool, and you know, these, and it's fun to sit. There's a lot of things that are fun to talk about, but it's so early still. And I know I do the Hustler column, and everyone wants to make predictions. Everybody wants to say, be emotional about their team. And I think after 25 games is a good indicator. I always like to say by Christmas, when you're opening your gifts, I don't know what you're going to get from your team that day. It's usually a fun day in the NBA. I usually say by Christmas, New Year's is a better indicator of where teams are going to be. Like I said last year, the Knicks were, you know, 20-20 and just in that kind of similar spot there now, hanging out to the bottom of the East and then tanked a little bit. I think they'll be better than that. We both agreed they'd get in at this rate. But I think it's just so – it's still so early in the year for me to be making bold statements and be emotional about certain things.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of things can happen. Obviously, I hate to say this. Injuries can happen. We also can see trades. I think there's going to be a lot of movement this year. A lot of people are kind of disappointing early on, and some of the free agent signings aren't living up to the hype. It's either December 12th or 15th where teams are allowed to trade the free agents they sign this year. So expect some movement in late December. I think we'll see trades earlier this year than we've seen them in the past.
I want to shout out the Pelicans win last night. They're now 5-10. Davis had the knee contusion, and not to poke fun at Davis, but he does seem to be made. Some guys are just made out of softer material. I wouldn't call Davis soft, but some guys experience injuries more than others, and he seems to have the injury bug.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that lanky, herky-jerky body that doesn't really help him. And obviously, he plays a ton of minutes. He plays super hard, and he's always around the rim. And, you know, when you jump so high and everybody else is kind of underneath you, when you come down, there's a good chance you're landing on somebody's foot, ankle. You know, you're not landing right. And it sucks for Davis because, you know, he's one of the most fun players to watch in all the NBA. I enjoy watching him. It's impressive, though, for the Pelicans to get the win with him still being injured, getting injured during the game. You know, that's not something I would have expected.
Yeah, definitely. And I think now that they've picked up a couple wins, who knows, maybe they could get to 500 after 40 games and pick it up a little bit. A main reason that has been because of the point guard play of Tim Frazier.
Yeah, Drew Holiday just came back too, so that's going to give them a huge boost. So he's a talented player. He kind of gets overlooked because he's missed so much time over the last few seasons. But when he's healthy, he really gives his Pelicans team another element.
Yeah, and again, 14 assists from Frazier last night. I really enjoyed watching him play in the moments and minutes that I've spent watching the Pelicans and a team that started out so brutal. Davis got off to the incredible start. We had spoke about how bad we had felt for the guy because he's just such an amazing offensive talent, amazing basketball talent. And for him, if he can stay healthy, it's a team that you'd like to see get in. I mean, obviously we know they're not going to beat the top two teams in the West. But, you know, if you look at the bottom of the West right now with the Lakers and Blazers, obviously the Thunder have struggled. Can you speak on the Thunder struggles? And I know Westbrook and the beginning of the year, well, still playing like, you know, somebody stole something from his mother. And he's just on a reckless abandon right now and as playing as hard as anyone I've ever seen. And reminds me of the 90s NBA and bringing it back to that competitive, grindy, every day is important type attitude. But they're 8-7 and they're losers of 6-10.
Yeah, the Thunder, they just aren't in sync offensively. They have some real issues. You know, they rely on Westbrook to do so much. And Westbrook, sometimes he's able to handle it. And other times, you know, the teams are throwing triple teams at him and he's still taking those bad shots. At the end of the game last night against the Lakers, he pulled up and stepped back for like a long three that really had no chance. And he had 2 seconds or 5 seconds left in the clock where he could have probably dished that off to Victor Oladipo or somebody else. Obviously, there's not a ton of trust in that team because there's just a lack of offensive options. They brought in some young guys to help like Grant. They need Cameron Payne to come back at point guard. But don't be surprised if this team kind of makes a move for a scoring wing. Just somebody either to come off the bench or somebody to take some of the pressure off Westbrook, because right now it just seems like he can't keep this up all season long probably, and it's just going to get worse for the Thunder as the season progresses.
I want to play a little word association with you, and just the first word that comes to mind when you think about one of your favorite words, but what do you think about Westbrook's play over the first 15 games?
Determined.
Definitely determined. I'm going to say ruthless. One of your favorite words.
Yeah, that's a good one. He is ruthless. He said, if you look up ruthless in the dictionary, you'll see a picture of Russell Westbrook. Yeah,
he just doesn't care.
Yeah, he's all about getting the W, and he's all about going out there and leaving all on the court. So you can't, I mean, it's hard to get mad at him when he takes a bad shot because you know how much work he's putting in during the game, but obviously it's still frustrating as a fan. I'm not an OKC fan, but if I was, it would still be frustrating because it's like probably a love-hate type of relationship where you love this guy so much, you know, like he's carrying this team and he stayed in OKC, but when he takes those bad shots, it's frustrating because you know he can get better shots.
Fact or fiction, Lakers have true reason to be optimistic right now.
That's a fact. The Lakers have a ton of young talent. I've said this before, even if for some reason they don't make the playoffs, which it looks like they probably could make that eighth seed this year, they have so much young talent. They have a system working. Luke Walton seems like the real deal. He learned a lot in Golden State. Guys on that team, you got Russell, Randall, Ingram, you know, Jordan Clarkson. He's got Lou Williams playing well off the bench. He's got Swaggy P playing well. Larry Nance Jr. You know, there's a lot of talent on that team, and there's no reason they're not going to get better.
My final question for you is, too premature or reality? Well, you know where I'm getting at with this. Is it a too early of a thought, or do we one day have this thought of a Kristaps Porzingis statue outside Madison Square Garden?
Wow, this is a tough one. I don't know if he gets the statue, but I know that I have a really strong feeling about Kristaps being a great player and, you know, him possibly being in the MVP contention one day just because his all-around game seems great and he seems to have the desire to be the best player in the league.
Yeah, best Knicks since Ewing.
Yeah, and he just – I don't know. There's just something about him. Even, like, I don't know if you saw, like, that corny video of him, like, giving the death stare to, like, the bench, even though it was
– He has, really, like, a sense of humor on the court. It's great.
Yeah, I don't know. He just, like, kind of has a good understanding of the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, when you saw those pictures of him as a kid and he had, like, cornrows and stuff, like, you're just like, yo, Kristaps is real. So, I mean, I hate that the Knicks have him because I don't like the Knicks, but it's great for the Knicks fans, and it means that they're probably going to have some good success over the next 10, 15 years with him.
He has a lot of the intangibles of a winner, and what I mean by that is right away from his rookie year, I was like, man, this kid's a little bit different. And sometimes you could tell from the way somebody is interviewed, from the way they carry themselves in the locker room, from what they say about their teammates and everything in between, everything goes into winning. And people want to just look at statistics. People want to look at you on the offensive end. People want to look at solely, like, the one thing I would say, the comparison I was making is anybody who's trying to be a star in New York should take whatever book that Derek Jeter wrote and follow it to every single word. And Porzingis is going to get a lot of attention. He's going to become the GOAT of the town in a couple of years. We understand where this is headed. So he has to understand how to handle himself. And I think he really knows how to do that. And he seems to be adjusting well to his fame.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think the Knicks have helped him kind of understand New York a little bit better. You know, they did a good job trying to keep an eye on him. And like you said, he has the intangibles, and it's only up for him in New York. So shout out to the Knicks for a great pick at number 4 and 2 years ago in the draft.
Yeah, and anytime, and the Knicks have had some struggles in the draft, and we could spend 3 episodes in a row on the incorrect moves that the Knicks have made. I mean, me and my friend is a big follower, and shout out to Zach. He's a big follower of all of the drafts, NBA, NFL, and he really gets into looking at the younger and the player pools and stuff of that nature. And when you look at some of the drafts and some of the picks the Knicks could have made, you kind of scratch your head and say, man, if they had just had some better talent evaluators, they could have been further along. But this is one of them they nailed on the head. At fourth overall to get the second best player, it's one of those things where, man, did the Knicks finally catch a break? Because we know about the Curry thing. We know about, you know, Jordan Hill and all those in that dreaded 2009 draft. I'm sure there are a couple other ones, and the Michael Sweetney, and the, you know, it just the history of just turmoil and unfortunate events it's almost like Murphy's Law, as Clyde talks about. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And the Knicks have been the butt of a lot of jokes in pop culture and movies and TV over the last 15 years or so. So for the Knicks to try to return to what they were in the 90s and making the playoffs every season, and Kristaps might have a lot to say about it.
Yeah, for sure. But we're not going to do our predictions tonight. Obviously, there's 13 games. There's no games on Thanksgiving. But what two games are you going to watch tonight? What games are you really excited to watch?
Oof, we got almost a full slate. There's 13.
Yeah, almost every team in the NBA but four are playing tonight. So
after what I saw last night for the Trailblazers coming off a back-to-back at the Garden, I think the Cavs will handle them pretty easily. And so I think the Clippers and Mavs, you know, that's going to probably be a blowout. I'm trying to look through. I want to see the Lakers play in Golden State tonight.
Yeah, that looks like a good one. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they do.
After beating obviously, them.
Yeah, the Warriors aren't too happy about that. Another game that I think will be a fun one is Toronto and Houston. Mm. You know, these are two teams that are pretty good. James Harden's been on a tear. DeMar DeRozan's been on a tear. It'll be interesting to see how the Raptors respond to their loss in Sacramento, in L.A., and how Houston handles the Raptors, a good team at their home court.
People keep asking me how many wins I think the Warriors will accumulate. I think before the show, before on the series, preview series, I said 68. And I'll stick to that because I don't think the Warriors really care about 70 anymore and 73 because they realize that they want to keep guys fresh, and they realize that towards the end of the regular season and playoffs last year, it was tough to continuously play at that level, even though they could have finished the finals. But I expect them to be between 68 and 70, but beat teams in a fashion that is so brutally disrespectful, like they did to the Pacers the other day. That was basically lunch money type stuff. It was a fifth grader walking into the bathroom and seeing a kindergarten with $5, and it was easy money for him. That's what that looked like the other day in Indiana. So I expect the Warriors to come out and play well tonight. If the Lakers were able on a back-to-back, on an emotional home win versus the Thunder, Nick, if they are able to go into Golden State and beat them again, I just can't see them beating them twice.
Yeah, if that happens, I will be like, wow, Luke Walton, Coach of the Year right now.
Yeah.
Like that will be some impressive stuff. I think the Lakers probably keep it competitive for hopefully three quarters, but the Warriors are just going to pull away. Or, you know, the Warriors might come out and be like, yo, this team beat us already. They kind of disrespected us and made us look bad. So we're about to put the beat down on them starting from the first minute of the game.
As a shooter myself, anytime I had a bad shooting night against the team, I'd always make it a point to shoot well early against that team and make it known that my 0 for 10, like Curry had his 0 for 10, the only game he hadn't had a 3 in what, how many games, 150-something?
Yeah.
So I look for Curry to explode tonight, and he remembers, he knows, he's a smart person and player. I think the Warriors have a chip on their shoulder tonight, and I would be surprised if this game was in single digits.
Yeah, I think the Warriors probably going to have a chip on their shoulder, like you said. Like, and they're on a different level right now. You mentioned how they treated the Pacers. This team is just so hot, and there's just so many different elements to them, and they can just really dominate a team real quick and not even put a ton of effort in it. So, yeah, okay. The Lakers don't really have much of a chance.
Yeah, so I'll watch that game if I'm not out tonight. I know it's a big night. You see some people that you haven't seen, and everybody's home for Thanksgiving break and whatnot. So, but
everybody be safe out there. Yeah, you know? it gets a little crazy.
Any Thanksgiving plans for you? What are your Thanksgiving?
I'm nothing big tonight, but I'm gonna head back to Poughkeepsie tomorrow. Spend some time with my family. Spend some time with Cynthia's family. So it should be a good day. And then I work part time at a Sporting Goods store, so I gotta go get back here on Black Friday and deal with that nonsense. But
Black Friday, a good idea or bad idea to shop on Black Friday?
Well, I'll say this about Black Friday. With stores opening on Thanksgiving now and all the cyber deals, Black Friday's really calmed down.
Yeah.
It's not as crazy as it once was. Back in the day, they used to have these doorbusters. Now it's, you know, the deals aren't as crazy, and it seems like it's spread out, and stores have kind of just – and you can just get as good a deals online, so why go deal with the chance of getting trampled?
I just think of that movie. What's the movie where the Arnold Schwarzenegger is trying to get that toy for the kid?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Or like Turbo Man or something. Like,
yeah.
And him and the other guy from House, whatever, the guy I'm talking about. And they just like run out and they just always trampling over each other. And that's Black Friday. That's like the image I always get in my head. My mom always goes to it, and I know I don't want to go to it. But yeah, again, everyone definitely stay safe. And the NBA is off on Thanksgiving. The holiday of basketball has always been Christmas. They have a great niche on Christmas. But after the 13 games tonight, off on Thursday, and then Friday we resume action. And what's your biggest takeaway from the first, like, if you had to say maybe a specific player or team? We, I know we've touched on some of the surprise teams, maybe a player, one guy that takeaway that has been the story, or just maybe something you didn't expect, or just a takeaway from the first month of the season.
I mean, obviously we touched on the team, the Lakers have really been a surprise, but as a player, I would say Andrew Wiggins. You know, there was a lot of question marks about him like the last two seasons. People were like, oh, does he really get it? You know, like, is he going to be that type of scorer? And I think this year he's really elevated his game. I really like what I see about him in the post. His jump shots improved dramatically. So Wiggins kind of has given me more confidence in him, and I really like what I see going with him forward. What about you?
Joel Embiid.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Embiid. Yeah, that's my mistake.
Wiggins is definitely in that conversation, but I think Joel Embiid wore his Sixers jersey. Someone, my friend, told me that Joel Embiid wore his Sixers jersey out to the club.
Yeah, he's real. Like, Embiid is kind of funny, too. Like, well, we obviously know about his tweets to Rihanna and, like, him photoshopping himself in pictures with her. So, like, he's
said something to Chandler Parsons about, you know, this girl that was trying to slide.
Oh, yeah. DMs
and something. And it's just like he really is a character. And I think the Sixers now 4-10. We didn't shout out to the Sixers who snapped the streak of 108 games of not winning back-to-back. So, can the Sixers beat the Grizz tonight at home?
I don't think so, but Embiid is really fun to watch still. He makes the Sixers entertaining. Like, you know, before you'd be like, shit, I ain't watching no Sixer game. Like, what am I going to watch for? Now, like, you can watch Embiid and kind of get excited.
Definitely. So Embiid has been a bright spot, probably a unanimous rookie of the year, if I'm not.
Yeah. Unless somebody really turns it on right now, I don't see anybody taking that rookie of the year from him.
Yeah, so rookie of the year and then an all-star. Again, I think the same way the Sixer fans probably feel about Embiid, again, a little bit more premature than Porzingis, but I think having that cornerstone piece is going to allow the Sixers to kind of get out of the basement a little bit.
Yeah, and another big that shoots the three ball, which is impressive for today's NBA. But that wraps it up for today. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Stay safe this weekend. Eat a ton of food and enjoy yourself. And as always, thanks for listening.
Stay blessed, everyone out there, and appreciate all the support, the young support that we've been getting, everybody, the fans, the writers, and enjoy your Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much turkey.